You are listening to The Phoenix, where science is stranger than fiction. We will discover both the enigmatic and absurd side of science, including biology, the animal kingdom, and even the paranormal.
Hey there, everyone. This is The Phoenix, your host, and you are listening to episode 6 of The Phoenix Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening, as always. I appreciate how everyone's been downloading the episodes and giving me some feedback. It's always great to get some good ideas. And some of you might have noticed my new domain name if you've been visiting my blog. It's www.blazingtalons.com. So I had to get rid of that whole Blogspot thing. You know, just it's easier to give out a domain name instead of that whole Blogspot thing. People usually go, huh? What are you talking about? Could you spell that out? So, hey, now I can just say blazingtalons.com. Just check it out. Just to make the announcement, I know I've alluded to this before. This podcast has been picked up by the Togi Entertainment Company, and this has been in the works for a couple months now. And it's a new portal for all different kinds of podcasts and radio shows. And what they mean to do is to bring the stories that are not picked up by the mainstream be the focus of their show. So luckily, some of their people have been listening to my show and thought it would be a good addition to their lineup. So they will have a new website up by the end of June, and of course, again, this podcast will be a part of their entertainment lineup. Moving forward, it'll be a 30-minute show, only once a month, sometimes twice a month, so I am very excited about the opportunity. But today's show just had some science news articles for you, and also wanted to investigate one of the most well-documented cases of reincarnation. And this story is going to lead into my first official podcast episode with the Togi Entertainment Company, as I will be undergoing a past lives regression hypnosis session. Yep, I'm going to actually do it. I've never been hypnotized before in my life. And as far as the whole idea of reincarnation and past lives, it's been, a subject that I've been interested in, but not necessarily one that I, believe in. I've always been sort of on the fence on it. One of my favorite movies of all time is Defending Your Life. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Albert Brooks is in it, Meryl Streep, Rip Torn. It's a great movie. And it deals with the whole past lives thing and how we seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. There's a scene where they go to the past lives pavilion where they get to go into this little booth and actually view little snippets of their past lives, and it's hilarious. You have to check that out. I might have to put a link on my site to that movie. And so you are listening to The Phoenix Podcast, Episode 6. Where science is stranger than fiction.
Science news.
Alrighty, well, this first story comes out of Reuters, and what they found was that people eat more when they're glued to the television, of course, but they found a correlation between just how entertaining the TV program is and how much people eat. It seems that distracted brains don't notice how much food is being shoved down people's throats, said Dr. Alan Hirsch, who's the neurological director of the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago. Boy, that would be kind of a cool job. Anyway, he explained that the impact of smell, taste, and eating behaviors while watching TV by measuring potato chip consumption. Now, that's a part of a study I'd like to be a part of. I think I did pretty well. They took 45 brave volunteers, and they were able to eat as many chips as they wanted during 5-minute intervals over a 3-week period while they watched monologues by late-night talk show hosts David Letterman and Jay Leno. And, of course, they were given potato chips to eat when the television was turned off. And what they found was that people ate an average of 44% more chips while watching Letterman and 42% more while watching Jay Leno than when they were, you know, not watching any television at all. And Dr. Hirsch said, there's part of the brain there that makes you feel, full. And if it's somehow tricked, that can change eating patterns. You know, that would explain if you've known anyone that worked at a place like a donut shop, for example, they would eventually lose their desire for donuts because, you know, they're around it all the time. They're smelling them, they're looking at them, and they might even eat them, you know, a lot when they first take the job, but eventually they get sick of it. And basically, what he found was, what Dr. Hirsch found was that if you wanted to lose weight, either turn off the television or watch something absolutely boring so you can pay more attention to what you're eating. In another round of testing, they found that while watching Rosie O'Donnell, volunteers actually vomited in their mouths just a little bit while eating potato chips.
Well, you'll have to excuse me because I have to use the bathroom.
All right, and this story is straight from Live Science. A report from Italy's National Research Council released just late last week that there were traces of cocaine and cannabis in the air in Rome. The institute made this discovery while they were testing the toxic substances in the air and found that they found cocaine, cannabis, as well as nicotine and caffeine. Dr. Angelo said that the highest concentrations of cocaine were found in the center of Rome, especially in the area of the university. Go figure. Researchers can't say for sure why the area registered such high concentrations, but me personally, I've got a few shots in the dark, maybe.
You just ate the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
You tell him, Chong. You know, the report isn't a cause for alarm for any Romans or anyone visiting Rome. The reports of the maximum concentration of cocaine in Rome was only 0.1 nanograms per cubic meter, which is 5 times less than the legal limit for toxic substances in the air. But if you're going to have the munchies, what better place is there to have the munchies than being in Rome?
Now, what was in that shit, man? I never had no dope like that before in my life, man. That's the heaviest shit I ever smoked, man. I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man. But goddamn, man, that's heavy shit.
And finally, story from Science A-Go-Go. A biotech company investigating milk composition across the entire herd of 4 million New Zealand cattle has identified some cows that are able to produce, get this, skim milk naturally. What they say is that the cows have these have genes that give them a natural ability to produce skimmed milk. And this milk, they're hoping it can be, you know, milk that tastes just like regular fat milk, fat full milk, but not contain all the, you know, unsaturated bad fats. So they're hoping this will be a huge development for the cattle industry because, you know, they take the fat full milk and they have to process it to make skim milk, and there's a lot of waste that's involved with that, a lot of that leftover fat. But if they can get cows to produce natural skim milk, that would take care of all that waste. But also, you know, they're looking at having these New Zealand cows maybe make a butter that is spreadable straight from the refrigerator that contains, you know, polysaturated and monounsaturated fats and not contain all the bad saturated fats. So could you imagine this? Wouldn't it be cool if they could take these cows that could actually maybe they should bring them to, like, the North Pole and get them real cold. Maybe they can have cows produce straight-up ice cream right out of the udders. Man, if they could do that, I would be in business. You know, you'd be a billionaire. People would just keep cows in their yards and squirt out some soft serve. But I guess that would put the ice cream man out of business, wouldn't it?
Yeah. now.
What the hell?
Exactly, I get down. I am intergalactically known. From my home, I'm back to ancient Rome, to Alpha Centauri, then back to Cardiff. Come along with me inside the TARDIS. Time and relative dimensions in space. I'll take a Dalek and put him in his place. I am the Time War's last survivor, with my sucking paper and sonic screwdriver. To give space the future and half all the dimensions, it's a blast. It's fantastic.
Yeah, this job pretty much sucks, but I gotta pay the bills. No, not too bad. After 11, it's usually just the drunk people anyway, so. Well, speaking of devil, I've got one driving up now. I'll call you back later. Hi there, good evening. May I please take your order?
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm looking at the menu.
Alright, take your time, sir. It's a pretty extensive menu.
Yeah.
Hamburgers and french fries. You know, while you're trying to decide, you know, we've got a special on two Big Macs for $2.
Don't offer me anything. I'll tell you what I want.
Okay. By the way, sir, while you're thinking it through, have you ever heard of a podcast before?
Come again.
A podcast, you know, it's like a radio show, but instead of on the radio, it's on the internet.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I host my own podcast show.
No way!
Yeah, and you know, when you pull around to get your order, I can write down my website address, and you can check out my show.
Give it to me. Check it out.
Cool. All right. So, have you decided yet?
You know how you got the six-piece nuggets?
Okay, six-piece chicken McNuggets.
Just, can you give me just four nuggets?
They come in eight and six.
Shut up and listen to my order.
All right.
Take the six nuggets and throw two of them away.
That doesn't make much sense.
I'm just wanting a four-nugget thing. I'm trying to watch my calorie intake.
Sir, they come in eight and six pieces, so I'm going to have to give you the full six, and you can just refrain from eating two of them.
Put two of them up your ass and give me four chicken McNuggets.
All right. Hope you choke on them. Anything else, sir?
All right, Cherry's Jubilee, and that's it. How much is that, sir?
Your total comes to $3.85.
Dalek's in the sphere, now they're here on his beer. The Limey's fanboys waiting for years to see this showdown. Was this fate, mate? Will they delete or exterminate? Wait, before too late, let's handle this debate. Great, into the rift, Dalek's in Cybermen, their defeats world. Who's almost double now to save in Pete's world? Said goodbye, faded away in pride.
Paranormal Corner. Spooky.
Wow, it seems a lot of you really like the paranormal stuff. So I wanted to do a story on one of the most interesting cases of reincarnation. And what makes this case interesting is that this person by the name of Jeffrey Keane didn't learn about his past life from normal past lives regression, which is what a lot of people go through. They'll go through hypnosis, and going backwards and backwards and backwards, they might reveal some past reincarnations or past lives experiences that seem to still be affecting them today. Now Jeffrey Keane's experience was very, very different, and he sort of ran into just one coincidence after another that led him to believe that he is a Civil War general reincarnated. So, anyway, you know, people call it the power of synchronicity, and synchronicity is a really interesting subject in itself, and we should probably do a whole podcast on that. Maybe even open that up to the listeners and readers. You know, these synchronicities seem to pop up out of nowhere, and Jeffrey Keane's story is an amazing one for sure. Keane is, he is currently, even still, an assistant fire chief in Westport, Connecticut. And he was on vacation with his wife, and they were looking for antiques back in May of 1991. They stopped in a town called Sharpsburg in Maryland, where the Civil War Battle of Antietam was fought. Probably the most bloody battle in the Civil War took place there at Antietam. Though Keene had never read a book on the Civil War before or had any sort of real affinity for that era, he did feel compelled to visit the Antietam battlefield. And while walking through a field called Sunken Road, Jeffrey Keene went into sort of a, not a trance, but he was overcome with lots of emotion. And he became so overwhelmed that he fell over. He was crying. He couldn't breathe. He was on his hands and knees. And he had a hard time getting back to the car. And his wife had to help him out just because it was such a powerful experience. And he couldn't explain it at the time. But, you know, as he investigated further, it would make more sense. But before they left Sharpsburg, he and his wife visited a little gift shop where there was a Civil War magazine dedicated to the Battle of Antietam. And it caught his eye. He bought it. And when he came back home, he back to Connecticut, he just kind of, I guess, laid the magazine down, put it in a bookshelf or whatever, and didn't even look at it until over a year later. And when he did finally decide to take a look at the magazine, he again had that huge wave of strong emotions take him over. And as he was leafing through the magazine, he turned to a page that featured a picture of a Civil War general by the name of John Gordon. General John Gordon's face was identical to his own. It was like Keene was looking at a picture of himself. He later learned that General Gordon nearly died after incurring multiple gunshot wounds at Sunken Road, specifically during that Battle of Antietam. And Keene recalled that it was at Sunken Road that he had that profound experience of grief and sadness and anger almost 2 years before. Now, at this point, you can kind of say maybe it's just a coincidence. You know, some of us have visited battle sites before, and knowing what happened there, you know, you get emotional. Maybe he's just realizing how devastating the war is and being there physically in that location. It's easy to sort of imagine things and get swept up and caught up in the emotion. So at this point, I would say it's just nothing but a coincidence. However, as information on General John Gordon's life was uncovered as Keene was doing his research, he discovered many kind of eerie parallels to himself and General Gordon. Besides some of the past life memories and emotions that were coming back, Keene and General Gordon shared a similar physical appearance, not just with their faces, which was exactly the same. In fact, I remember seeing this on television where they superimposed Jeff Keene's face over John Gordon's face, and it's really freaky. I mean, they're mirror images of each other, but they're very similar in looks, their height, eye color, birthmarks, and other weird things, personality traits, and even common lifetime events, writing styles, habits, traits. For example, both men preferred to stand with their arms crossed. Both had similar tastes in clothing. Now, going back into his life, Keene remembered 15 years ago that he had a personal experience that really paralleled something that happened to General Gordon. Keene had been having a severe pain in his jaw. Again, this was 15 years ago, prior to all this stuff. He had a severe pain in his jaw, which grew worse and worse and worse, to the point where he was rushed to the emergency room. And they ran a bunch of tests, but they couldn't find anything. Maybe they thought, you know, it could be a stroke or something. And finally, eventually, the pain went away and disappeared. This whole thing with him going to ER and his jaw hurting, that happened on September 9th, 1977, which was Keene's 30th birthday. Fast forward 15 years later, Keene discovered that General Gordon was wounded in the face at the Sunken Road on September 17th, 1862, during the Battle of Antietam. And General Gordon happened to be 30 years old at the time. Okay, cue Twilight Zone music there. That is freaky. Another example of a really eerie coincidence is the fact that both men have a star-shaped mark on their foreheads just above the left eye. Now, for Jeffrey Keene, it's a star-shaped birthmark. For General Gordon, it's a star-shaped wound that he had received again from battle. they were able to confirm this with photographs in the collections of the United States Library of Congress and the National Archives. But they both have this same star-shaped thing on their faces. And it seems as though you could say that maybe the wound that General Gordon suffered, the scar, has sort of lived on through his another future lifetime into Jeffrey Keane's face and showed up as a birthmark. But, you know, again, is this just a coincidence? When it involves something like physical evidence, like a face wound or birthmarks or something that correspond to a past life, you know, it's really, really tough to ignore. And then another example of a synchronistic event is when there was a written order by General Robert E. Lee on September 9th, 1862, which actually led to the Battle of Antietam, where General Gordon was severely wounded. This event occurred on the exact same day as Jeff Keane's birthday, September 9th, 1947. And in cases where people are saying that one person is a reincarnation of another, you see a lot of those synchronistic events in parallelisms in both lives, even down to the date. And then, of course, I mentioned writing styles and the way the voice that Jeffrey Keane writes in is identical to the way General Gordon writes. And I'll put excerpts from a letter from each man, and you can just sort of compare it to each other. But, you know, really, really strange. And of course, you know, Keane, he is a chief firefighter, so he is accustomed to being in danger. He's accustomed to being a leader, and he's accustomed to being responsible for the lives of his fellow firefighters. And even if you were to take a look at their lives from a more general perspective, Jeffrey Keane, you know, is a fire chief, and he's accustomed to being a leader, being in charge, and of course, being responsible for the lives of his fellow firefighters. And, you know, a lot of people can draw that parallelism to, you know, a lot of people can draw that parallel to the life of General Gordon, who also was in charge and responsible for the lives of his men. So, I mean, there's a lot of other kind of really interesting coincidences, similarities, some a little more eerie than others. And you can take a look at his website, Jeffrey Keane's website, and I will be sure to put a link up on my blog so you can take a look at that. Again, that's blazingtalons.com. And you can also look at some of the photographs. And really, to me, the physical evidence is what really makes this case very, very interesting. So what do you think? Is it a true case of reincarnation? Or is this guy, Jeffrey Keane, just delusional? Wishful thinking? Just check out his website. You know, look at the information and sort of judge for yourself. Maybe even wait for my next podcast where I get hypnotized and take a sneak peek into my past lives, if I have any. So, does even the idea of reincarnation even exist in your realm of personal, spiritual, religious belief? You know, that's another question for another show. But I hope you enjoyed this one. Hope you learned a couple things and had a couple laughs along the way. And I look forward to getting some feedback from some of you. I appreciate all that I've gotten so far. And I'm hoping that this show just continues to progress and get better. If you have any ideas on that, how to do that, make sure to, you can either email me at phoenix@blazingtalons.com. That's phoenix@blazingtalons.com. Or heck, just give me a call at 206-339-7125. You leave me your comments, your questions, and heck, you can even plug your own blog if you want. And I'll be sure to play that on my next podcast. And of course, always check out my website, www.blazingtalons.com, where you can read my latest posts, and of course, it's a supplement to the podcast itself. I'll get those links and pictures up shortly. And as always, I thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to getting the next episode out here actually pretty soon. So until next time, take care. Take care, everybody. You've been listening to the Phoenix Podcast, where science is stranger than fiction. Phoenix out.